For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
There are different types of meetings. There's healing meetings, believers meetings, evangelistic meetings. What we want to do in this church is develop a high level of understanding about prosperity. And in order to do that, we need to have meetings where we dedicate ourselves to looking at the word specifically on that. And not only that, but to also respond to the word of God with respect to that as well. So let's open in prayer as we come today to look at a particular message, and that is, how does God view offerings? Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you today. We thank you for your wonderful blessing. We thank you for what Jesus has done in going to the cross. He was made sin for us. He was made a curse for us. He took our sin. He took the curse that we might be free, that we might be people of righteousness, that we might be people of the kingdom of God. And we thank you, Lord, for that, that we in the kingdom no longer have to walk the way of the world, but there is a way, a better way for us. And we praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. How does God view offerings? So first of all, look at Romans 15 verse 4. Romans 15 verse 4. You know, the Old Testament talks a lot about offerings, a tremendous amount about offerings. And if we were to say, oh, well, you know, I know that they used to offer up animals for blood sacrifice, that's not relevant to us anymore. We can't learn anything about that. Not so. If you have a look at Romans 15 verse 4, it says, and I want us to put our eyes onto this scripture. It's a very important one, because when we go back into the Old Testament, we're thinking about what's the relevance to us as Christian believers. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we might, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So they were written for our learning. Now, although we do not give offerings for sin, as in the Old Testament animal sacrifices, we do still give offerings in the New Testament. For example, thanksgiving, material things, goods and finances. And we know that Christ has fulfilled the law, that part which talked about sin offerings. I'll just quote 1 Peter 3 verse 18. You don't have to turn to that. But it says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So we see that there are many scriptures which emphasize that Christ was a once only sacrifice for sin, and so therefore blood sacrifices for sin, such as in the Old Testament, in that sense not relevant. However, how does God view offerings today is relevant to us, because we are people that do offer up things. Let's have a look at Hebrews 13 verse 15. Hebrews 13 verse 15. And we can see here an example of one thing that we can offer up. And you can see there is a statement as to how much we're to offer it up. In Hebrews 13 verse 15, it says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So you can see that we as kings and priests are to offer up things to God. And here's one example of an offering that we are to offer up to God. And it says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. You know, every day you should be thanking the Lord. You should have an attitude whereby you are grateful for what He's done, grateful for what you have, and also be confessing the Scripture and saying, thank you, Lord, this is reality in my life. And letting that be a part of your whole walk, your whole way of thinking. In other words, we are to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. And that's only through Scriptures. And so we see, we do offer up sacrifices as kings and priests, as priests of God. And it says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Have a look also at Philippians 4:16-18 before we go back into the Old Testament to see how God views offerings. And remember, that's written for our learning, so we can see that there are things that transfer into the New Testament type of offerings as well, because we can learn how to approach the Lord, what to do, what are offerings in His sight, how does He view them. Philippians 4:16-18 talks about another type of offering that we as kings and priests are to do. Starting from verse 16, it says, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So what type of sacrifice is being offered up here? Well, it's what they were sending. They were sending once and again unto Paul's necessity there. In fact, the Philippians had partnered with Paul, and they were sending, as it says there, once and again, so it was on a continual basis. And he says that it would give them fruit that may abound to their account. So the way they saw offerings was not just, oh, we're giving it to a man and therefore it finishes and that's it. No, Paul saw it like this, and the kingdom of God operates like this, and we're to see it like this, as a seed sown, as a seed sown. And notice that it's an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So who is looking on your offerings in this case? Who is looking on your giving? It is God, isn't it? And we'll see that also in some scriptures of the Old Testament as well. God looks on the offering, and if it's offered properly, then it's a sweet smell to Him, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Think about that. Think about that. A sweet smell. It's something that God enjoys. You want to please God? Well, here's something that it's saying. An odour of a sweet smell. A sacrifice. Acceptable. Well-pleasing to God. So I pray that you're starting to see that there is something to offerings that, which is a separate dimension, so to speak, from the way the world would look at it, or from the way many people, even Christians, look at it. It's not just, I'll put it in the offering bag and that's it. It's, how does God view it? Is God viewing it as though you're just giving it to man and then that's it? Or is He viewing it as though you're giving it to Him? You are supporting His work. You are putting value on what He wants. Can you see the idea? So we see that I've just given a couple of scriptures in the New Testament which talks about us offering a sacrifice. The sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of giving. Paul, obviously, they sent to him gifts and finance, money, and so on. So the Old Testament was written for our learning. We can learn a lot about the nature of offerings as God sees them by looking at books such as Leviticus. Now, Leviticus is full of offerings and types of offerings. But we're just going to look at some aspects of these that we may learn. How does God view offerings? Let's look, first of all, at Leviticus 1 verse 2. Leviticus 1 verse 2. So whereas a lot of people would write off Leviticus and perhaps not even look at it much at all, perhaps we should review that type of thinking and think, well, you know, this was written for our learning, and not just Leviticus, by the way, but the whole of what's been written. And so we should look at it from a spiritual perspective. A spiritual perspective. After all, we are spiritual Israel. And so there must be things in here which God is saying unto us. So Leviticus 1 verse 2 says, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock." So the first thing we can see here is offerings are made unto the Lord, even though men on earth receive them. Okay, can you see the idea here? It says in verse 2, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord. It doesn't say an offering unto the priest there. It's an offering unto the Lord. So the very first thing you need to understand is offerings, whether it be a gift or finances, you're giving it as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Also have a look at Leviticus 2 verse 8. We're going to spend a little bit of time in Leviticus. We could go in other books of the Old Testament, but as I said, Leviticus 2 talks a lot about offerings. Leviticus 2 verse 8, it says, "And thou shalt bring the meat offering that is made of these things unto the Lord, and when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it unto the altar." He brings it unto the altar for dedication and to finalise the sacrifice. So what we see here is a twofold thing in this particular scripture. That is, that someone brings these things, notice they're physical things, okay, physical things, unto the Lord. You might say, well, how is this? How is this? I mean, you know, we know God the Father is in heaven and Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. How are we bringing it unto the Lord, who is our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ? How are we doing it? Well, see, this is a spiritual thing. We're viewing it in a spiritual way. We're not just thinking, oh, it's just a physical transaction. It's not just a physical transaction. It is a spiritual transaction. It is a seed transaction. And so what we see here, the first part of that is these things unto the Lord. So you bring the things that you have, the physical things that you have, unto the Lord. And here's the second part, when it is presented unto the priest. So it's presented unto the minister. It's presented to men. Okay? And we'll read another scripture later where it talks about men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them. So that's talking about Jesus receives them. So what we see here is that the physical gift is brought, and it's brought into the house of the Lord. And in the house of the Lord, it is received by men who then finalise that sacrifice. And you know how we do it here. We pray over it and dedicate it out unto the Lord. And that's very right and the right thing to do. And so we see this principle once again, that the things you're bringing are not just to man, but they're unto the Lord. When you start to think of it that way, and you start to see the spiritual nature of whatever you're doing with respect to offerings. I remember as a young Christian, I'd only been born again very recently, within the first year, I latched onto healing very well. I understood healing through the scriptures and immersed myself in the healing scriptures, and since that time I've grown lots in that area. I found it much more difficult to come into the prosperity understanding. Why? Because Well, first of all, there's been a lot of faith development on the healing line over the decades, particularly in the last century, and even more attack on prosperity than it has been recently. So there's been more of a development amongst the Christian church on the healing side, and now there has to be a lot more development on the prosperity side. One of the reasons for that is that the financing of the gospel right across this earth in a major way will require large amounts of finance, large amounts of finance. And so God wants his people to prosper so that they can fund the gospel, and so because he's not going to just rain down money from heaven. You understand that? That's not how it works. Okay? We're seeing how it works here. That people bring these things unto the Lord, but the way they do it is they present it in the house of the Lord, as it says there, unto the priest or unto the minister, and then he takes it to the altar, as in dedicates it to the Lord. And this is important, he or she would dedicate it to the Lord. So let's have a look also in the New Testament in Mark 12, 41 to 44. So we see that this first thing about how does God view offerings is that offerings are made unto the Lord even though men on earth receive them. So if you look at Mark 12, and as I said, as a young Christian, I didn't get into prosperity doctrine quickly, but as I went on, I realised that, hey, I was placing far too much value on physical things and much less value on the Lord in this area. And so I had to basically release it to the Lord. And since then, and this is my testimony, since then great prosperity has come into my life, and I'm looking forward to even greater in the future. Praise the Lord. Isn't it funny how you can be fearful of something, and the devil will try to say, if you do this, you're going to lose out. But when you finally obey the Lord, you don't lose out at all. You don't lose out at all. And let me encourage you to obey the Lord and don't lose out. Mark 12, 41 to 44. Start from verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there was a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, how much percentage-wise did this woman cast into the treasury? 100%. And so it was much more percentage-wise than those who were casting in of their abundance. Now, the other question that I could ask is, who's looking at this poor widow? Who's looking at this poor widow? It's Jesus. And Jesus is God. God manifests in the flesh. So God is looking at people as to how they're casting things into the offering, so to speak. So you can see that he wants out of a heart towards him and towards his way that we give to him. So we see once again that they're giving to the Lord, and God is looking. God is looking at how we give or how we don't give. Also, go back to Leviticus. Leviticus 1, verse 9. So this second point is that offerings are a sweet savour to God. Now, we've already seen that in the New Testament, Philippians 4, 16 and 18. We read that before, a sweet savour to God. And so it's very interesting that it also says that of offerings in the book of Leviticus, and of course other parts in the scripture. Leviticus 1 verse 9, notice what it says here. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. So here we see this offering was a sweet savour unto the Lord. A sweet savour unto the Lord. That tells us that offerings can please God. Now we know that people can make offerings and it won't please God. Cain made an offering in the book of Genesis and didn't please God because it wasn't made by faith and it was made out of a heart of rebellion. And Abel, in that same passage of Scripture, made an offering that was acceptable to God. It was a sweet smelling savour, or sweet savour unto the Lord. So that's sweet savour unto the Lord. Think of it. Your offerings made in faith and understanding that you're giving it to the Lord is to the Lord a sweet savour. A sweet savour. Okay? Now you've got to, by faith, believe this, because you've got to believe that what you're doing is a spiritual transaction. It's not just a physical, oh yes, I put a bit of money in this, and that's fine, but you've got to see it's beyond the physical. And I think we're starting to see this if you believe the scriptures. Another point that we can make, and we will just go quickly back to Exodus 30 verse 10, is that offerings are holy to the Lord. Holy means pure, without corruption, separated unto the Lord. Okay, so we know that God wants us to be holy, and he wants our transactions in him to be a holy thing as well. Exodus 30 verse 10, let's look at that one. Keep your finger in Leviticus, we're going to come back to that. Exodus 30 verse 10. And that's what it says here. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. So we see here the offering was most holy unto the Lord. And if you go back to Leviticus, Leviticus 2 verse 3, Leviticus 2 verse 3, and it says a similar thing here. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. As far as God is concerned, what you're offering, what you're separating unto the Lord, it's a holy thing. It's a holy thing. And I pray that you start to understand, how does God view your offerings made by faith? It's holy. They are holy. They are a sweet savour. You're offering them unto the Lord. And so this is an important thing for us to see. If we want to prosper, if we want to see and do what God wants, this is important for us. All right, offering should be of the free will, out of the heart of free will. You know, God doesn't want to force his people to do anything. He wants them out of love, because faith worketh by love. He wants us out of love to do things. Okay, so if you look at Leviticus 1 verse 3, we haven't gone much past the second chapter of Leviticus. You might like to, in your own time, have a read through Leviticus and just look at just concentrate on what were the offerings in terms of how is God viewing them. We've seen things which translate into the New Testament for us. Okay, as spiritual transactions back in the Old Testament, spiritual transactions now. So we're looking at offerings of the free will. Leviticus 1 verse 3. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. So he's doing it before the Lord, and he's offering it of his own voluntary will. Own voluntary will. But frankly, we don't want people to be putting in offerings if it's not of their own will. They've got to see, first of all, what offerings are all about. It's a spiritual thing. It's not just a physical transaction. It's offering of your own free will. And we see that it's reflected in the New Testament as well. If you look, just keep your finger in Leviticus. We'll come back to that. If you have a look at 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7, it's a well-known verse, this one. Notice, offering of your own free will. It comes out of a heart that is cheerful, that is saying, I love the Lord, and I see that my offering is a spiritual transaction before the Lord, and I see that I have to understand this whole area a lot more. A whole lot more. So 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7 says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Okay, isn't that good? God loveth a cheerful giver. So your giving, we've already seen God's looking at it. It's made unto the Lord. It's a sweet savour to him. They're holy. And if you're offering it as a free will offering, out of a cheerful heart, not of necessity, not grudgingly, God loves that. God loves a cheerful giver. Think about that. God loves a cheerful giver. Let's say that. God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. And if you're a cheerful giver, you're not going to be thinking of it in the wrong way. You're not going to be thinking of it in the wrong way. In fact, you won't think of prosperity in the wrong way either. You'll think of what I'm doing has eternal value. Eternal value. God will remember what you're doing now on earth centuries from now, millennia from now, a million years from now. It's going into eternity. And this is very, very important for us to see that. Go back to Leviticus. Leviticus 3, verse 1. And this next point is offering should be without blemish. In God's eyes, without blemish. Now, what does that mean in terms of the way we do it? Well, we should be giving our best to the Lord. Not something that's half-hearted. Not something that's, our second best as such. But giving our best unto the Lord. Stepping forward. And you can see that that's what they did in the Old Testament. They didn't bring the sick and the maimed animals. They didn't bring the ones that were broken and, it's not going to be very much useful to us anyway, so we might as well get rid of it as an offering to the Lord. Wait a minute. Are you serious? You know, God had to give warnings about that type of thing because there were some people actually thinking like that. Have a look, Leviticus 3 verse 1. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. Notice, without blemish. God's wanting the best of the herd. And it comes in line with seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You put God first. Putting God first. Now I know this is... This can be difficult for people. Once I solved or put an end to my fear of tithing, God opened up other doors and put an end to my fear of giving generous offerings. And so that this is something we've got to really understand, that there is eternal value in what we do now. So offerings should be without blemish. The next point I've got here, how does God view offerings, is offerings should be given with a clear conscience. A clear conscience. Have a look at Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Now, so this is saying that offerings should be given with a clear conscience. Clear conscience, okay? That's what it says in verse 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, so why you bring it to the altar? To be dedicated before the Lord, okay? That's the same what we do today. We bring it, present it unto the Lord, to be dedicated unto the Lord. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Okay? So you have to have a clear conscience. If you're holding bitterness or unforgiveness against people, or if you've got things in your life you know need to be cleared up, you know, you need to get that right. God wants his people, and he says, be holy even as I am holy, and he wants his people to be word people, sanctified people. Sanctify them through thy truth, Jesus said, thy word is truth. So sanctified, set apart for God, holy. We're not to be living like the sinners. You know, and you should know that by now, because there's many, many sermons that we've preached along that line of we must be people that put God first, his kingdom first. And so when we come to bring our offerings, you know, we have to bring it with a clear conscience, as we read just then. The tithing issue, and I call it an issue because it is very clear right across the planet Earth now that, first of all, there are doctrines against tithing, but secondly, there are relatively a small number of the total church that actually tithe, and that is giving 10% of their income to the Lord. Now remember, you're giving it to the Lord. And I just want to finish on Hebrews 7 verse 8. Hebrews 7 verse 8, remember, it's a New Testament scripture. It's pretty clear about tithing, this one. So if anyone says to you, oh, tithing's only for the Old Testament, well, no, it's not, or tithing is just under the law. No, tithing is for today. And there's great reasons for that. Because when you tithe, you're putting you're dedicating your income, what you have to the Lord. And you're saying, Lord, I put you first. That is yours. That is yours. That's not mine. And notice what it says in Hebrews 7, verse 8. It says, and here men that die receive tithes. So that'd be me, for example, receive tithes. But there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. So there, that's in heaven, he, Christ, is receiving them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. So you're giving your tithe to the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it all comes down to the way you view it. As I said, I had a fear of tithing because I thought, well, you know, if you give away 10%, therefore you cannot, you're going to be losing. So that's the wrong way of thinking. And it's to be repented of. Let me tell you that now. And not just that, the way we view offerings is to be repented of. I want to give you, and I believe the Lord is leading us here in this, I want to give you an opportunity to repent before the Lord. And this is if you need to. But I'm going to lead you through a prayer, and you can quietly follow through in this prayer, because frankly, right across the earth, the body of Christ really needs to come to an understanding that prosperity is the Lord's will. And offerings are the Lord's will. God has said for us to offer. It's not a man-made idea. It's a biblical idea. And, you know, the Lord wants his people, as I said before, he wants his people to have clear consciences and understand this whole area. You know, there are going to be people who will hear this sermon, not just here, but through the internet. And anyone that does hear it through the internet, you can pray this as well. You can pray this as well. So, Heavenly Father, just quietly pray this. Heavenly Father, I know that I have not viewed offerings in the right way in the past. Forgive me of that, Lord. Show me your way clearer and clearer. Lord, I see that both offerings and tithes are made unto you. And that, Lord, you are the one that is receiving them, even as they are presented upon the earth to men and women and dedicated before you. Help me, Lord. Wash me clean by the blood of Jesus. I repent of going my own way. And I say that from this time forward, I will go your way in this area and view offerings in a spiritual way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, if you did pray that, believe that the Lord answers you and has answered you. And I want you to think along the lines of, well, you know, in the future, I'm going to be a tither and an offerer, and I know that it's God's will, not man's will, not just what the pastor wants. And I do want everyone to be tithers and offerers because it's God's will. You understand that, don't you? And that's important for us to see that. So before we take up the offering, and I want you to do what we did in the last one, that is come out and put your offering into the bag in a minute, and then we'll pray over and dedicate it unto the Lord. But before we do, let's go back to that scripture in Philippians 4. Now, God has his hand upon his people as they are submissive to him. Paul had certain people who truly understood the nature of offerings. They knew that there was great value in giving to the Lord. And Paul here in this section reiterates or makes clear what the offerings are to the Lord. And we see this, we'll start from verse 16. I know we read it before, but we'll read it again because we're going to go down to verse 19 then. And you can see that verse 19 links up to the previous verses. Now, a lot of people just quote verse 19, but they neglect the other verses. They neglect an understanding, and they start to say, oh, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But they don't realize that there is a condition to that, and that is that you are offering to the Lord in a spiritual way. In other words, they were partnering financially with Paul, giving, as I said before, physical gifts and financial gifts to him, into his ministry. And Paul makes a really, really good statement. He makes a few good statements here. But verse 16, he says, for even in Thessalonica, he sent once and again unto my necessity. So you could see it was a continual partnership he had here with them. Not because I desire a gift. Now see here, he's saying, it's not because, oh, I want a gift that I can, you know, use it on myself, so to speak, or whatever. No. He sees in a spiritual way. Verse 17, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Every one of us has an account. And he says, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. It's a spiritual account that the Lord is looking at. Verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things, notice, things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Can you see the context there? Here they are giving into the ministry, into the works of God, into the church. And he tells them it's going to be fruit that will abound to your account, and you're doing something. The things that are sent from you are an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to the Lord. Well-pleasing to the Lord. Well-pleasing to the Lord. And then, when you see it in that way, then you can make that confession that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Okay, you can be assured that God will supply all your need. That's a promise you can grab hold of and be sure about.